Welcome back. You should now be standing outside Bond 31 Warehouse on High Street, ready for stage 7 of our walk. This stage takes us to the museum quarter and gives us a chance to look at the old river wharf. So first, if you could look over the other side of the street, next to Black Boy Setback is the other entrance to Burnett Avenue I mentioned on stage 6. Although it has a rather grand name of Avenue, it is in fact an alley, arranged in an L-shape between Scale Lane and here. It shows how commercial buildings had developed in Hull during the early part of the 19th century. We will see another example of this later on in the walk. Next we have Dunswell Forge, a medieval building rebuilt in the mid-1700s as a shipsmith. However, I'm pleased to say that much of the original internal structure is still there. It's a popular vegetarian restaurant. So, if you could now walk down High Street, opposite Dunswell Forge, and just before you come to the Red Post Box, you will come to the former Pacific Club, which was the meeting place of Hull's corn and seed merchants, dated 1899. The style is Jacobean Revival, and there's a wealth of detail to be seen. It's now used by Hull's Absolute Culture team, the organisation which took over from the City of Culture 2017. Now next, on the same side, just after the post box, we have the entrance to Bishop Lane Stathe. This shows how a typical stathe would have looked during the mid-18th century. It is an excellent example of how heavy wrought iron plates were put there, probably around the mid-1700s, by the property owners, to stop carts from damaging the walls of their buildings as traders manhandle their goods to the quayside. You will see a number of examples of these wall plates as we walk down High Street. Go on, rub them, give them a tap, and just imagine who's passed down this stave before you. So, if you could now carry on, staying on the right-hand side and in front of you, you will see a range of warehouses from the early 1800s, some still with their second and third floor loading bays intact. They have now been converted into student accommodation. Over the road, we have another avenue that isn't. A rather over-elaborate commercial property built around 1900, it replaced a previous L-shaped alley. Now next we have the Sailmaker's Arms. It has a warm, glowing fire in the winter and a large sun-catching courtyard in the summer. So now back on your side, we have the very grand former Corn Exchange, designed by architect Bellamy and Hardy in 1855. We know this because they have conveniently embossed their name and date across the centre rail of the rather fine wrought iron gates. Corn Exchange now houses Hull and East Riding Museum. We will see the entrance to it just round the next corner. On the other side of the street is the Meister's House, Hull's only National Trust property. It was built in 1775 for Henry Meister, a wealthy merchant. Although quite austere on the outside, the inside reveals a staircase with a delicate wrought iron balustrading leading to a gallery with ornate plasterwork. Unfortunately, it's not open at the moment as the premises are unoccupied, so there is no access. In contrast to the Meister's House, next door we have the very elaborate Phoenix Chambers, 161 High Street. Built in the 19th century, it is still used for its original intended purpose as office accommodation. Next to Phoenix Chambers is Chapel Lane, and opposite that is the entrance to two of Hull's excellent museums, the Street Life and the East Riding Museum, both well worth a visit. We'll be coming back to this area at the end of this stage, so just for now, please turn right into the museum precinct and walk down the cobble section between the buildings of what was Chapel Lane Stathe, and you will reach the River Hull. Once there, please turn left.
Oh, River Hull, I long to see you, away you rolling river. Oh, River Hull, I long to see you, away I'm bound away. A across the wide Humber shore. Your busy wharves and sidewalks call, away you rolling river. Your streets and taverns and friends with all, away I'm bound to go, across the wide Humber shore. 'Tis 7 long years since last I've seen you, away you rolling river. 'Tis 7 long years since last I've seen you, away I'm bound away.
Here we are on the banks of the River Hull, so please turn left, and on your right, berthed in the river, you can see the Arctic Corsair, the last sidewinder trawler to leave UK shores. It's currently undergoing restoration as part of Yorkshire Maritime City project. If you could now please walk along the boardwalk with the river on your right, and you'll pass the back of the Streetlife Museum. You should now have passed the back of the Streetlife Museum, and next you will come to the rear garden of Wilberforce House. We'll get to see Wilberforce House at the end of this stage. Following the garden is a curtain wall, decorated with artwork representing local trades of Hull and East Yorkshire, including fishing, shipping, the docks, food processing, chemical manufacture, entertainment and various aspects of agriculture. Now, if you could please look across the other side of the river, and you will see a rather ornate, if somewhat jaded building, that is Trinity Boys Station, built in 1901. It's a Grade 2 listed building and is now used as industrial workshops. Keep walking, but take care here, as the river wharf is unfenced. Now next you will come to, on your left, Peace Warehouse, built in 1745 and extended in 1760. Although now converted into apartments, they have retained all their original features. Joseph Peest was a Dutch merchant who established Hull's first bank in 1754, which eventually became a branch of the Bank of England, and it was thought to be the first bank in Yorkshire and one of only 12 in the country at the time. Carry on walking, and in front of you, you will see Drypool Bridge, an electrically operated roller lift bridge opened in 1961. Now, on the other side of Drypool Bridge is the district of Drypool. And for the mathematicians among you, it's here in 1834 that John Venn was born, he of the Venn diagram fame. And further east at 371 Holderness Road in 1881, J. Arthur Rank, the film mogul, was born. And even further east, but still in Hull, we have the birthplace of Mick Ronson, lead guitarist with the Spiders from Mars, support group to David Bowie throughout the 70s. Sadly, Mick died of cancer in 1993. You can hear David Bowie's feelings towards Mick on our YouTube link if you go to our Want to Know More section on our website.
Oh, River Hull, I long to see you. Away, you rolling river. Oh, River Hull, I long to see you. Away, I'm bound away, across the wide Humber shore.
Continue walking along the riverside, up the ramp, and with a slight left and then a right, you will reach the main road, which is Alfred Gelder Street. It was built around 1900 and cut across High Street, isolating the north end of the street. And that's what we're making for. So please walk down Alfred Gelder Street towards High Street and you'll see a dropped kerb. Alfred Gelder Street was part of the main road network through the city until Castle Street A63 was developed during the early 60s. Now please cross over Alfred Gelder Street and make your way to the left-hand pavement of what is known locally as Little High Street. It can be quite busy round here and there's no designated crossing point. Please pause the guide at this point and restart again when you're on the other side of Alfred Gelder Street and standing on the left-hand pavement of High Street. You should now be over Alfred Gelder Street and on the left-hand pavement of High Street. So please walk down about 25 metres and wait a moment. In front of you, across the street, you will see Blade's House, built around 1750 for Benjamin Blade, a merchant and shipbuilder. If you look up at the roofline, you will see, between two chimneys, a small window. Originally, boys were sent up onto the roof to look out for ships sailing up the Humber, so that cargoes could be got ready for loading. By preparing like this, ships could be offloaded and reloaded often within the hour, so that they could be sent back out on the same tide. How's that for 18th century just-in-time management? As you look at the window, it's pretty clear that it's an afterthought. It was installed after three boys were killed falling off the roof while ship spotting. It's difficult for us to imagine the attitude at the time when it took three fatalities before they did anything about it. Please now continue to walk down High Street and stay on the left-hand pavement. The name Benjamin Blade would probably have slipped into obscurity had it not been for the fact that in 1784 his company built the Bethia here on the River Hull. It was later bought by the Royal Navy for the princely sum of £1,950, and they renamed it the Bounty, and the rest, as they say, is history. Blade's House is currently used by the University of Hull as, appropriately enough, their Maritime History Research Centre. Please now continue to walk, and on your right hand you will pass Alexander Wharf and a group of rather undistinguished terraced houses. And following them, you will see the front of a very distinguished former dock office, built in 1820. The dock office was the headquarters of the Hull Dock Company until the new dock office, now the Maritime Museum, was opened in 1871. You will notice that the old dock office was originally a five-bay building set around a front entrance with a central triangular pediment. Well, it can't have been big enough because in 1840 three more bays were added to the right-hand side to give us the building we have today. Please now walk past the old dock office and cross over the road towards the River Hull. It's quite quiet round here, but still watch out for traffic. Once you're over the road and beyond the old dock office, look through the fence and you will see the pit lock of what was Queen's Dock. It's now, of course, Queen's Garden.
Watch out! Coming along!
Once renovated, this will be the new site of Hull's historic trawler, the Arctic Corsair, together with a purpose-built visitors' centre. If you could now look up at the north wall of the old dock office, you will see why it was built where it was. Every ship that entered and left the dock could be watched over by the dock owners. Okay, so we will now make our way back to the museum quarter. So please cross back over the street, watch out for traffic again, and make your way back to Alfred Gelder Street. In doing so, you will cross over the cul-de-sac named North Wall. This was, as the name suggests, the outer limit to the old town wall. So please pause the guide at this point and restart again when you're at the other side of Alfred Gelder Street. You should now have crossed over Alfred Gelder Street, so please make your way to the left-hand pavement of High Street to where you can see a blue plaque. The plaque is dedicated to Joseph Peast. You'll recall we mentioned him during the Riverside part of the walk. If you look through the gap in the wall, you will see the other side of Peast Warehouse. Remember, we saw it earlier on in the walk. This area used to be a complete row of elegant Georgian houses, including that of Joseph Peast. But sadly, most of the area was destroyed, including the other side of High Street, during the Second World War. Fortunately, the next two houses we're going to see did survive. So, if you could please walk further down High Street, and you will come to the first of these, a pair of Georgian houses, now a museum. You should now be standing outside the front door of a pair of Georgian houses. They were built in 1756 for the tar merchant James Hamilton. What makes them unusual is that they are actually a pair, similar to a modern semi-detached house, which was very unusual in the Georgian period. There are very few examples of this layout from the Georgian period left in the country today. The two houses have now been combined into a museum with rooms displaying costumes, firearms, with displays of Hull silver from the 17th and 18th century, and clocks made in Hull and the East Riding. Like all City Council museums, it's free and well worth a visit. You can access the Georgian houses through the next property we come to, the famous Wilberforce House. So please walk until you reach its entrance. Wilberforce House was probably built in the 1660s. It was originally the official residence of the Governor of Hull. It was originally bought by the Wilberforce family in 1730 and stayed in the family until 1832. It opened as a museum in 1906. William Wilberforce is probably Hull's most renowned son. He was born upstairs in this house in 1759. And became the MP for Hull in 1780. It was he who led a group of MPs to push for the abolition of the slave trade. Although he was a small man, only 5'3", he was a great orator. During his final address to Parliament before the vote, it was said many MPs were reduced to tears. Let's hear what he had to say in Parliament on that day.
The slave trade, founded in inequity and carried on as this was, must be abolished. Let the policy be what it might, let the consequences be what they would. I am from this time determined that I would never rest until I have effected its abolition.
It was his efforts that finally led to the Slave Trade Act in 1807, which ended British involvement in the international slave trade. OK, so this has brought us back to the museum quarter and the end of stage 7. this may be a good opportunity for you to visit one of our great museums around here. As well as Wilberforce House and the Georgian Museum, there's the Street Life, covering transport through the ages, and for the right reasons, one of the smelliest museums in the country. And also there's the East Riding Museum, which covers East Yorkshire's history from the Stone Age, and includes Roman mosaics and a 4,000-year-old dugout canoe found buried in the banks of the Humber. So whatever you decide, when you're ready to start the walk again, please come back here outside Wilberforce House and press Stage 8, Wilberforce House, to Ye Olde White Hart on your handset. Look forward to seeing you then.